It's such a privilege to be giving this sermon for our sister Kate, who can't be here today, and our prayers are with her as she recovers. So these are Kate's words. God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? In January, an Instagram video from DHS quoted Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And that video was to promote ICE recruitment. I do not believe that the writer of this recruitment video had read the rest of the passage, nor considered its context. So let's take back that scripture today and look at the fullness of its context to see what the prophet Micah and Jesus are saying. Where did Jesus receive his instruction, his ethics? Jesus grew up with that foundational reading of Micah. God says, do, love, and walk. God uses verbs of righteousness, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. This is what is required, no more and no less. Micah hit the essence of a rich spiritual life. You cannot sit idle when action is required. Do, love, walk. Micah stood as a prophet, and even in his own day, some listened and others twisted his words. As was discussed in last week's children's moment, will we turn around? Will we listen? We had an American prophet, Martin Luther King Jr., and yes, some heard and turned their lives around, and others now are trying to erase his memory, take him out of history books, and erase the national holiday in his name, to take away the teaching to do, love, and walk. We need a prophet who will tell us the truth about our nation and ourselves. And our prophet of today, Micah, is not a bad one to have. His short book of 7 chapters has 3 parts. The first 3 chapters consist primarily of proclamations that terrible disasters are coming for the disgraceful behavior of Israel's leaders. The next 2 chapters are mostly promises that things will get better, though not until difficult times that have already been set in motion have run their course. The closing 2 chapters have a mixture of judgment and hope, and hope gets the last word. Our morning's reading comes from this part. The situations of Micah's Israel and of those in our nation are similar. Back then, Israel was in a time of transition. After a half century of relative peace, suddenly, in 746 BCE, all of that changed. Tiglath-Pileser III came into power in Assyria and had soon subjugated the northern kingdom of Israel. The southern kingdom of Judah avoided this fate only by paying a huge tribute, and the consequences were swift. They lost their independence, and their traditions were corrupted. Our nation and the entire world is in enormous change. Canada's Prime Minister, Mark Carney, recently stated that we are not in a time just of transition, but of rupture. We differ on religion and faithlessness, on morality and immorality, and the electorate is equally divided on most issues. We even refute evidence that the planet is in distress. Micah held the leaders of Israel responsible for their dilemmas. Who then do we hold responsible for ours? Then too, in Micah's time, as in ours, the poor were manipulated and abused. And in Micah's time and ours, this situation was made worse through military spending. How do you split a national budget when you fear threat? And what if we each feel a different threat? What then? Micah argued that by piling up more and more armaments, the people's well-being would be in danger if they descended into poverty. Today, as we analyze our budget, our national budget, we argue the very same issues. How much for what is discussed as protection versus social policies and things like education? We need a prophet, and we need a jury. Micah has God ask why we have turned away. If the moral code is broken, Israel is then invited to plead its case before a jury. And it's a jury of the mountains and hills. So then the environment will be our jury. Personally, I love the idea that we are judged by the earth itself. And truthfully, at this very moment, the earth is doing just that. And if we are to share the earth as God's gift, well, God's judgment is also on trial. Why should God have given us so much power? God asks in Micah, have you forgotten what you have been given? How can we stand innocent before the mountains and hills? How do we stand as a nation, as a congregation, as individuals? Let the mountains judge. They are witnesses. Then, in the next to last verses, an individual asks on behalf of the community, oh God, what do you expect? With what shall I come before God and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? And Micah says, no. We can do religious ritual all day long, but if we do not do, love, and walk, everything is meaningless. God is infinitely more interested in how we and how everyone actually lives their lives. How we do, how we love, how we walk. And with Micah, this is all about justice. It is not something we wish for. Justice is something we do. We are the prophets of today. Micah and Jesus have given us the guidelines, and now it is our turn to work for fairness and equality for all people. The mountains and hills have been around a long time. They have seen it all. Let them judge. Let them judge how we do, how we love, how we walk. To do justice, love kindness, to walk humbly and with care with our God. This is not unlike the Beatitudes in the Gospel reading today. The poor in spirit are blessed, as are the meek and those hungry for righteousness and for mercy, as are the pure in heart and the peacemakers and the persecuted. God lives with those who who are on the fringes, with the outcasts. Jesus furthers the teachings of Micah, and it suggests that the deep meditations that Jesus practiced led him to the same conclusions as Micah, this prophet of God. These things are to grow deeply in our hearts, in our consciousness, so that in a moment of peril, we simply act with God's love. We won't have to stop and think. We will just do. This way of being will be interwoven into our nature. It will become the way we do justice, the way we love kindness, and the way we walk with one another and with God, the way we live. Kate says, that's all. When I was in the Boston area with my family next week, there were two separate conversations about how we should act in these strange and challenging times. Would we, with graciousness, put ourselves in danger to intercede for someone who is in danger? That was what Alex Preddy did. Which of the do, love, walk, admonitions was he following? What about the monks who are walking across the United States in honor of peace? Which of the admonitions are they following? Or the 100 clergy who went to Minneapolis and knelt in the cold and were then arrested? Which of the admonitions were they following? How about the neighbors who are bringing food to the homes of those who are afraid? How about those who stand in sub-zero temperatures to honor justice? What about those who held placards honoring the dignity of all? Today is the feast of Saint Bridget. She gave all her father's grain to the poor. Maybe that is not what God is asking you to do. But what admonition did she follow? The verbs of righteousness should become automatic in our lives. And if we fail, well, then we pick ourselves up again and again with God's help. And what is clear is that each of us is given a specific set of skills, a unique temperament, and a physical and mental constitution that is ours alone. We bring all of that with us, so we do not all have to serve justice in the same way, but serve we must. We can all be the voice of Micah. We can all be the voice of Jesus. We can do justice. We can love kindness. We can walk humbly and with care with a God who loves us. The world is our church. We come here to grace to fortify ourselves in community, and then we walk back through those doors into the world. We leave to do, love, and walk. One more time, and you are all invited to answer. What do we do? We do, love, and walk. This is what God requires of us. Amen.